Good morning, brothers and sisters, and I would like to welcome you into the house of the Lord on this beautiful day of our Lord. Let's open up in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this lovely day, the day that you have made. May we rejoice and be glad in it, Father God. We thank you that we can all gather together this morning to look into your word, to learn more about who you are as revealed in your word to us. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that as the word is preached, that you would please open our ears, our eyes, and our understanding. As your word says in Isaiah 55:11, that your word will not return void unto you, Lord. So may your word please penetrate our hearts this morning. May it encourage us, reprove us, rebuke us where required, Lord. And may it change our hearts and conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. We thank you for that, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, and to the glory and honor of God, our Father alone. Amen. So this morning, I am preaching from Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 20, but the verses I'm going to highlight are only four verses from the chapter. But I would like to start by reading our text this morning, and our title for our sermon this morning is Hearing the Gospel. And I read from verse 1. And he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun rose, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. The other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they were yielding a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, everything comes in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown to them. And in a similar way, these are the ones being sowed on the rocky places, those who, when hearing the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And the others are those being sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for anything else enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones which were sown on the good soil, they who hear the word and accept it and are bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, this morning we are gathered here to obviously dedicate little baby Grace to the Lord. And many have gathered for that purpose. But we are firstly, as the Church of Christ, as God's Church, we are gathered this morning for the purpose of worshiping our holy triune God. Now, at this time when people come together for a baby dedication or a wedding or a funeral, this is often a time, especially with a dedication, that we can remind all people that God is the giver of life. And we can remind all people that life is a precious gift which is given by God. And when we think about God, we cannot help but also think about who He is and what He has done for us. Excuse me. We clearly see this in the verse John 3:16, when we read, "For God so loved the world." We see in that statement there just how much God loves the world, and then continues saying that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God the Father gives the most precious thing in heaven for our sins, His only Son. Now, this is a scripture with promise. If we believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, we shall not die, and we will not be separated from God in eternity, but we will have eternal life, meaning that we will spend eternity in the very presence of God. Now, there might be some here this morning who don't understand that. But don't worry, because in Jesus' day, there were also people who gathered to hear Him speak, who didn't always understand when He was saying, and because He used parables to try and explain things. Now, this morning, we are looking at one such passage, probably one of the best-known parables that Jesus told, the parable of the soils. Jesus uses this parable to tell us of four types of people. All of them hear the gospel, but they respond in different ways. Now, Jesus explains that the seed he's talking about, the seed is the gospel. And what is the gospel? Well, the gospel, in very short terms, or the summary of the gospel, is the life, the death, the resurrection, and lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, this brings us to verse 4, which is the first of these people we're going to look at this morning. Now, verse 4 in Mark chapter 4 reads this: "And it happened that he was sowing. Some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up." Now, who are these people, we may ask? Well, these are they who hear the gospel in sermons, but they pay no attention to the sermons. They come to church for the wrong reasons. They either come because they want others to think that they are godly, or they only come because family expects them to come, like on today. You know, I'm South African, and when I first came to the United Kingdom and started preaching, I was told that many people in the UK only go to church three times in their life. They come to a baby dedication, or they come to a wedding, or they come to a funeral. So this morning I'm going to take the opportunity to share the gospel, because I don't know how often you come to church. You see, the truth is that these people have no interest whatsoever in what is being preached. They hear, but they don't listen. And all they hear is white noise. This is because the gospel doesn't interest them. The preacher is not talking about the latest mobile phone or fashion craze or music group or whatever interests the individual. When there is preaching, they are a million miles away thinking about other things. Things that have nothing to do with God and His Word. They might be thinking about Sunday lunch today. Or they might be thinking about going to the pub afterwards. Or what there is to eat. Or what there is to do. Or what there is on television. Now, J.C. Ryle, the famous Anglican theologian and Bishop of Liverpool, he says that the gospel produces no more effect on them than water on a stone or water on a hard stone. And at the end, they go away knowing no more than when they came in. What J.C. Ryle is saying is those people, when they come to church, they don't care what he said and they leave exactly the same as when they came in. Nothing has moved them. Now, the book of Proverbs is very clear and stands as a warning to people who think that they know everything there is to know. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." You see, we live in a day in our culture when there is advocated for personal truth. You have your truth. It doesn't matter what someone else's truth is, but you have your truth. And the culture is advocating that there is no absolute truth. And we know as believers that that is absolutely not true, because we hold to the Word of God, the Bible, as absolute truth. Now, the question we can ask is this: if our culture says that there is no absolute truth, how can you even trust that statement? Because how do you know that the statement "there is no absolute truth" is true? You know how silly it is. But Sunday after Sunday, there are people who go to church for whatever reason, and not for the right reason, and the gospel seed is stolen away by the devil, that is sown in their hearts. Week after week, they live without faith in God, without fear of God, and without the knowledge of God, and more importantly, without the saving grace of God. Now, people, even in the world, live under what is called common grace. Because if there are two farmers, one a Christian and not a Christian, the Word of God, the Bible, tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. And the farmer who doesn't believe in God and doesn't trust God, he still reaps a harvest. And that is God's common grace. Now, you might also have family members who regularly go to church. And they come home every week and they tell you what has been preached. But your heart is so closed that you don't care. You don't respond. You respond in the same way you respond as if you were in church and not caring or not listening. Now, the second type of soil which the seed falls on after the hard ground is the rocky ground. And Mark chapter 4 verse 5 reads as follows: "And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil." Now, who are these people? These are they on whom preaching produces a temporary impression. It has a temporary effect, but there's no deep, lasting, and abiding effect. These people take pleasure in hearing the gospel and sermons that are preached, in which the truth of Christ is proclaimed. They can speak with what can be interpreted as joy and enthusiasm about the sweetness of the gospel, and they can relate the happiness they feel when they listen to it. Now, they can even be moved to tears by the appeals of the preacher, and they can talk passionately about their own inner conflict, their hopes, struggles, desires, and fears. But unfortunately, there is no stability or continuity that accompanies this profession that they make. So therefore, this profession is an empty profession, a profession that is not lasting. You see, the gospel has not taken root in their lives, and so they may seem to endure for a little while, but there is no real work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Their conversion is short-lived, and their Christian life is like a firework that bursts into beautiful colors and delivers such promise, but only for a moment before disappearing altogether as if it was never there. Because there is no root of the gospel in their lives. When affliction or persecution arise for the sake of the gospel, they fall away. Now their friends might poke fun at them and say, so you are now one of those Christians. You believe that rubbish, do you? Now their faith in God has no more life than a cut flower. It has no root, and therefore it is non-lasting, and it slithers, it withers away. Now the third group of people we are looking at is the third type of soil is the thorns. Now read chapter 7 from Mark chapter 4, verse 7, sorry, from Mark chapter 4. And it reads, "And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." Who are these people? Now, these are they who attend the preaching of Christ's truth, and to a certain extent they obey it. These people understand the gospel, they approve of the gospel, and their conscience is affected by it. Their hearts are moved by the gospel, and they acknowledge that it is the truth of God. They even abstain from things which the gospel condemns, and they adopt habits like praying and scripture reading. But unfortunately, they stop short. There is something that appears to hold them back like a chain that won't ever let them move beyond a certain point in their faith and in their Christian walk. How is this possible, you may ask? The answer is because they cannot totally let go of the world. There is still something in the world that pulls at their heart. There is something that pulls on them. They cannot give their heart totally to God. And J.C. Ryle again explains, he says, "The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things prevent the word from having its full effect on their souls." These people stand still and they cannot move forward because of these idols in their lives, the influence that the world has in their lives. They cannot come to that place of total commitment to God. And it seems that there is always an excuse. You see, I try to have quality time with God by praying and reading His Word, but I work and I'm tired, or I have children, or there is this excuse or that excuse. I come to church on a Sunday, and therefore I think I'm doing okay. I'm fine. I even serve in the church on Sunday. I might be singing in the band. With everything in their life and their spiritual state that looks so promising, they stand still. They never come up to the full standard of New Testament Christianity. They come so far, but go no further. They see so much, and yet they don't see at all. Excuse me. They approve of so much, but yet they do not give Christ their whole heart. This is indeed not only a shame, but also offensive to God. It is as if they have tasted and seen that God is good, but they do not want to partake of all of Him. And I'm afraid that this is the majority of people who are in the church today, or what is called the contemporary church. And for them, there is a warning in James 4, chapter 4. And God here uses strong language, but He's trying to put a point across, and He says the following words. Verse 4 reads, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world sets himself as an enemy of God." And this brings us to the fourth type of person that is in the church. And we call them the godly. And we see this in Mark 4, verse 8. "And other seed fell into the good soil. And as they grew up and increased, they were yielding a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold." Who are these people? Now, these are they who really receive Christ's truth into the bottom of their hearts. They believe it implicitly and obey it thoroughly. In these people, the fruit of the gospel is seen. It is uniform, plain, and unmistakable. And the results of the gospel is in their heart and in their life. These are the people that when you see them, they always have a smile on their face. If you ask them how it is going, they tell you it is going fine because Jesus Christ is on the throne and they have a zest for this Christian life. These people tend to truly hate sin because of the offense it causes God. They mourn when they sin. They are not comfortable with it. They resist it and renounce it. Christ is truly loved, trusted in, followed, loved, and obeyed. Holiness will show itself in all their conversations in humility. They are spiritually minded and they exhibit patience, meekness, and love to all. You will never see these people listening to crude joking or filthy language. There is evidence of a godly life that can be seen by all. The true work of the Holy Spirit, you see, cannot be hidden. When God has changed you, when a new heart has been placed inside you, as we read in the book of Ezekiel, when a heart of stone is turned into a heart of flesh, it cannot be hidden. There is no such thing as an undercover Christian. There is no such thing as flying under the radar. There is no such thing as hiding away because we don't want the world to know that we are Christians. The Christian church and Christian people, God's church and God's people, are called to be a witness and ambassadors. You can never be that if you are flying under the radar or hiding away. You will find these believers in churches where the gospel is faithfully preached. The number of these true Christians may very likely be few compared to those around them or the world around them. In the lives of these believers, there will always be these following things: a visible repentance of their sins, a visible faith in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and a visible pursuit of holiness and purity in their lives. Because without these things, there can be no saving religion. Now, in conclusion, now is the time to ask ourselves and to answer honestly without deceiving ourselves. What are we? Who are we? Under which of these four headings do we find ourselves? When we hear the preaching of God's word or the sharing of the gospel, what type of hearts do we have? Is it a heart that takes offense, that gets angry? Or is it a heart that is convicted and wants to repent? Now, there are three ways to hear the gospel, as we see in this parable, without profit for our souls, and only one way of hearing it right that would lead us to a saving knowledge of Christ and to everlasting life with Christ. Now, before you put yourself in this last category of the good soil, remember that your life has to bear spiritual fruit. Because if there is good soil and seed is growing inside it, whatever is growing will bear fruit. Now, to be without fruit is to be on the broad way, as we see in Matthew 7:13. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And as I've said many times before, many think that the broad way is the way to Christ because the broad way has a big neon sign over it saying "this way to heaven." But as we've seen Proverbs 14:12 say, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. Now, that is the way of eternal separation from God. So this morning, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, he says the following words: And we here at Great Harwood Christian Fellowship, me as a preacher at Great Harwood Christian Fellowship, would join with Paul this morning when he says, so then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As God is pleading through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So this morning I want to implore you, I want to beg you and plead with you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Redeemer, please speak to me after the service. Do not let this opportunity to be reconciled to God pass you by. Do not let your pride stop you. Do not let Satan lie to you. The biggest lie that has been told to men and women is that you have time. That is what Satan says. You will have more time. But none of us know what tomorrow holds. None of us know what the next 5 or 10 minutes hold. Come to Jesus. Give him your life today. Let us pray. Father God, we glorify you and magnify you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins, that took our punishment on himself, that he satisfied your wrath, and that we can live and have relationship and be reconciled to you, Father God, through what Jesus done. Thank you that his righteousness is imputed to us. We can be righteous through Christ Jesus because we have no righteousness of our own. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in the hearts of everybody who has heard this message this morning. That there might be conviction if they do not know you, that they might know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them because God the Father loved them, as John 3:16 says. Please, Lord, we pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus, and only for your glory and your honor, Father God. Amen.